Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Okay, so I want to build a little bit on speechless. This whole message that Pastor Mike gave to us a couple weeks ago about just the presence of God leaves us speechless. When we discover something new, how many of you, when you discover something new about God, Eric, you and I have had this conversation so many times, when we discovered this season in our lives, the grace of God, we're sitting there going, I'm going to use the S word, moms, just so you know, we go stupid. Didn't we? Eric and I have so many times in restaurants looked at each other laughing going, we're so stupid. We're idiots. And I'm not throwing you under the bus. This is Eric and I. We know we're idiots. We're sitting there going, did you really? I mean, look at what God's word says about his grace. By the way, Eric and Shelley were our youth pastors for approximately 8 years here at St. Charles River Church, and I think they did an absolutely fabulous job. And during those times, we got to have great discussions about the mercies of God, the grace of God, and how we're so undeserving of these things. And yet, he just keeps lavishing them on us. Now, that makes me speechless. And some of you are thinking, Barry Ivey has never found a day of being speechless. Well, I'll ignore that. Amen in the corner. But can I get a witness to the fact that the presence of God leaves you speechless? Or at least, you know the song, Indescribable? It's just words kind of go away because you start putting words on it. It actually puts limitations on the grace of God. And it's not that you go out of control, because the Bible teaches self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. But there's just this desire inside of us, because God placed it in us, to worship him in his awesome wonder. Because it's the only thing that can describe his worthiness is to just worship him, because I got nothing. And so I just give it over to him and glorify him in his goodness and in his mercy. And this awesome creator who spoke stars into existence still is. You know, I say that all the time. But I'm so captivated by the God that's still creating. By the way, he's still creating in all ways. I mean, he is. He's creating in all different ways. And another planet went into existence just now. Another star, another universe, another whatever is being created as we speak. And I am taken back by your awesomeness. And so I am compelled to. It isn't like I lose control. I am always hopefully in control because of the fruit of the Spirit. But I submit to the fact that I got nothing but to worship you, God. This is who you are. You're so worthy, and I am unworthy, but you have made me worthy. Wow, where do I go with that thought? I am so unworthy, but you have made me so worthy, I gotta worship you. I got no other reasonable response. Romans 12:1 says to present my body a living sacrifice. And I don't mean I just got to stand there and worship. I mean, I got to live the life of worship. You get that? And I would contend, and I can show you here, that God cheers. That God cheers. I've got some examples I want to give you personally that I've witnessed today, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I want to read, and there's a subtitle there, and it just says, More Than Conquerors. If you're a writer in your Bible, just underline that so you'll get the whole kind of area of where we're going. The idea that we're more than conquerors, because if we're more than conquerors, there must be something to be conquered. And let me tell you, every morning when I get up and look in the mirror, I find out who it is. Really. My enemies are not near as bad as the enemy in the mirror. How many have ever found that? Am I the only one that thinks that? Am I the only one that gets, I mean, am I, because I don't want to be alone in this moment, that my worst enemy is between this left ear and this right ear. It's my mind. The battle in the mind. Now listen to this. The Bible says we're more than conquerors, so that must mean I have the ability to conquer my mind. And to live over it. And to make it submit to me. And to submit to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. More than conquerors. And this is Paul writing the church in Rome. If you're not familiar with who the writer is, Paul is writing. And most agree that, you know, Paul is writing. He is the, in fact, he says he is. But Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And how many know the church in Rome had issues? If you didn't, you just now found out. Rome didn't fall in a day. Everybody remember that phrase, right? Okay, here we go. And we know that in all things God works for the good. Listen to this bold statement of commitment to root for you. Now get the picture here. The picture is God cheering you on. And I want you to catch the cheering that's going on in this portion of Scripture. It says, and we know that in all things, everybody say all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He's always working to your good because he's rooting for you to succeed. How do I know that? I'll show you that in just a second. For purpose, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. In other words, he's working to make me more like Jesus. He's doing this. He's doing the work. It's a gift to me through the Holy Spirit, but he's doing the work in me that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. For those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Do you know that you're glorified? You've been glorified by the Holy Spirit. You're set apart. He chose you. The Bible says, I didn't choose God. He chose me. I'm not that good. I can't choose God. But God chose me. That's how good, good God really is. The song we were just singing a few minutes ago. Now get this. He's rooting for you. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? In other words, I'm speechless. I'm basically, I got nothing here. But this is what the Holy Spirit gives me. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, everybody say he's for me. Have you ever been to a basketball game for a relative, a daughter, or a son, or a grandchild? You ever been to a sporting event? And you're for somebody? Well, I got to tell you, one time I was in the stands with Barb Hickman. There you go. I was in the stands with Barb Hickman, and Alyssa was running track that day. And there was no doubt in my mind who Barb was for. Because she's sitting right next to me, and I'm telling you, I thought I was loud, and I was. In fact, on the other side of the track, the girls were asking Alyssa when she'd go through the finish line in first place. She did, really. I mean, it was first place, first place, first place. The girl ran like the wind, you know. And on the other side of the track, the girls were asking, who's that dude with the loud voice on the other side of the track? We can hear him all the way over here. But I want you to know something. Every time Alyssa went by, she could hear Mom, and I'm telling you, so could everybody else, cheering because there was no doubt who Barb was rooting for. Here's the key. Alyssa knows her mother's voice. Do you get the point? Yeah. Alyssa has an intimate relationship with her parents, and when they're rooting for her, she knows the voice of her mother and her father. It's set apart because she's used to hearing their voices. It's an intimate relationship with Alyssa. I will tell you, there were times I'd be sitting there looking at Barb. I'm sitting down. It was cold. I'm sitting down, and Barb, as Alyssa's coming around the turn, man, the volume got louder and louder. Who do you think we get that nature from to root for our kids that way and cheer us on? Go, Alyssa, go. If she's in the next room, she had been in the back room where, oh, there she is. There she is. Oh, okay. Well, it's, I'm just telling you, I didn't know you were sitting there, sweetie. I thought maybe you were somewhere with Jean and Beth, but she's sitting there. So as Alyssa's coming around the corner, I'm telling you, Mom is up and rooting, and the parents in front of her, it's your baby. That's your baby. Do you know that all of heaven, when the Father's rooting for us, God is cheering for us, all of heaven, get this, all of heaven goes, that's your baby. Get the picture. When Jesus was about to be baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, there's this voice from heaven. Give me a voice from heaven. Anyway, there's this voice from heaven. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. You know what he's saying? This is modern day verbiage, a little bit of O'Fallon. Ask my boy. Get the picture. Let me un-King James it a little bit and bring it to St. Louis and O'Fallon. That's my boy. And I'm proud of my boy. Well, that's what was going on when Alyssa was coming around that turn. That's my girl. That's what Barb's doing. That's my baby. And I'm rooting for her. By the way, there were a lot of parents there rooting. But I was sitting right next to Barb. And I mean, it was loud. But her girl had first place. You see, she's more than a conqueror. You getting the picture? Amen. She wasn't just trying to encourage, oh, that's cute. She's running last place. Isn't that cute? She's out there trying to, you know, catch up with the last of the last. And she's actually, that's so cute. No, come on, baby. You're going to do just fine. Keep going. Just finish the race, even though you're 14th. It's okay. Just finish the race. No. This is the mama of the first place runner because she's more than a conqueror. And Alyssa knows that voice. I want to ask you something. Do you know your Father's voice enough to know that He cheers for you? Do you actually know? Do you know your Father well enough to know His voice? Are you in His Word enough to know what He would say to you? That He's actually cheering you on today? He is really cheering you on today. And I mean, it's personal. It's deeply personal. That's my girl. That's my girl right there. I'm rooting for you, sweetie. You are more than a conqueror. Why? Because He made me that. He didn't make me a loser. How many know He didn't make you a loser? He created you to be a winner. Another example of that, my son-in-law, Dan, at this point, where'd Dan go? Oh, they had to take off. Dan, and so we're at an MMA fight. This is before Kristen and Dan got married. It was an MMA fight. He's an MMA retired fighter at this point, and his mother is really happy about that. Rhonda's very happy that he's in retirement from his MMA fighting days. But we're all sitting there in this ring on the floor because, you know, we had family in the ring. How many knows God's got family in the ring? Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I said? God's got family in the ring. This is deeply personal. God wants front row bleacher seats, and He's cheering you on. And here's Phil, and here's Rhonda. That's their boy in the ring. And they're cheering for their boy to do things to that other opponent that just almost don't seem biblical. And here's Gina and I rooting for the same thing. Put that right foot up on the left side of his cheek. Take him down and strangle him out. I mean, you get caught up with this kind of sports stuff, right? And here's his dad, Phil, cheering him. We might have been 30 rows back. And I'm telling you, a son knows his daddy's voice because he's wanting to know. He's listening. There's only two voices that really matter in that room. That's your mom and your dad. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of voices in your life. There's a lot of voices in all of our lives. The only voice that counts is this voice. The only voice that we should be listening for is this voice. And Dan is up there putting his right foot up on the left side of the cheek of the other person and taking him down. And I'm telling you, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to that day. But there were 10 rounds. And I look at Gina and I say, are you ready to go? Dan just finished. She said, no, this is good. No, we ain't leaving. This is good. We like rooting for it. I mean, we're sitting there. We saw the heavyweights come out. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, Oh, I can't believe he did that. Do you remember? Don't think I'm a heathen, though at times I totally can be. Did you remember the movie Billy Jack? Do you remember? Do you remember when Billy Jack told Bernard, I'm going to take my right foot and I'm going to place it on your left cheek. And Bernard, there's nothing you can do about it. And Bernard laughed, and he did. And he took him down. I see. Listen, we have an enemy, and the Father is cheering us on because we're in the ring, and he's watching us, and he's cheering, and he's cheering, and he's cheering. It's just an amazing thing. I'm going to give you one more example. My son-in-law, other son-in-law, Darrell, we're at Kaysen's basketball game. Kaysen is, how old is he, six? 6 years old. So I got a lot of kids in my mind, but Kaysen is 6 years old. And we're trying to bribe Sienna to just keep busy back behind here. So Gina's got all kinds of stuff for her to play with. And we're watching Kaysen. Now, Kaysen gets the idea that this basketball goes that way and there's a net. I got to get it through. He gets that. But he'll run down there with that basketball. And everybody's yelling, bounce it. You got to dribble the ball. He'll do this. And he keeps running with it. He gets there. Now, I've never seen a six-year-old, or anyone for that matter, on a basketball court negotiate. So he gets down to the end, and get this, Darrell is laughing hysterically. Way to go, buddy. Way to go, buddy. That's it. Keep on going. Dribble that ball one more time. Just dribble the ball. And he goes, and then he gets down there, and he says, now get ready to shoot. Get ready to shoot. And this is how Kaysen gets ready to shoot. But he's listening to his daddy's voice. There's 45 to 60 voices easy echoing through this hall, this basketball court. And this voice saying, now back up and shoot. And here's Kaysen. Puts the ball here. Everybody back up. Everybody back up. You need to stay over there. Please stay over there. Because I gotta shoot. And he lines, and Darrell is just cheering him on. That is so cute. Please back up a little bit more, because I don't have enough room here. I gotta shoot. Okay. And when he puts that basket in, the whole place goes nuts. The only voice that matters to Kaysen is his daddy's voice. Is his daddy's voice. How many voices you got in your head? How many other people you got telling you you're a loser? How many people telling you you'll never succeed? How many people say you're a disappointment? How many people say you're anything but what God's word says you are? Those voices are liars. Because that didn't come from the voice of your Father. And we need to know the voice of our Father well enough to know what He would say to us. If you're ever in your head hear, I'm a loser, that's not your daddy. If you ever hear, you're not going to do this, you're not going to succeed, that's not your Father. Know what He would say to you. Now listen to this. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare. Get this. Here's the evidence of His rooting for us. He's so rooting for us to succeed, He made sure we had a way never to fail. Get this. He made sure I put in a ringer. See, I told you I can be heathen sometimes in the way I approach things. He put a ringer in. The ringer is Jesus paid it all, the price of death, hell, the grave, the keys. He won it all on that trip to the cross. And he made sure we could succeed. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will we not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? How will He not give us graciously all things? He's given us everything. He even showed He's not going to spare His own Son's life. He's so rooting for you. Do you know that God is cheering you on today? You really get the picture. God is actually cheering you on today. In your most miserable state, whether it's depression, God is cheering you on. If it is just a feeling of, I'll never succeed. I can never get above this thing, this addiction that I'm dealing with. God is cheering you on. Don't quit. If you ever hear the voice saying, don't quit, that is God. Or your wife. Sometimes God speaks through wives. And God speaks through husbands. And sometimes He speaks through donkeys. If you know the Bible, you know Balaam's donkey. Why are you kicking me so hard, you know? Hey, know what God would say to you. And understand this. If it's not cheering for you to succeed, shut it down. Stop listening to that voice. It's not truth. It's not based on what he would say here. Then shut it down. The problem is we need to know what he says here so we'll know if it's part of the promises of God. Does everybody get that? He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who could? We already won. The ringer's in. It's done. It's a done deal. And he chose you. Get this. I'm stupid over that. I go speechless over that. And all I can do is worship him. And I mean a life of worship. Romans 12:1. Not just stand there and raise my hands. And I love doing that. I love doing that. He says, if he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Well, I'm going to jump down into verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? In other words, what truth could ever be spoken against you if God's already done this work in you? He's a liar. Who could ever bring a charge against you? Because God chose you. So here's the time, and one and only time I'll get to say it, where everybody says amen. Tell that voice, shut up. Tell the voice, shut up. In Jesus' name. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who could stand in that role? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. In the weaknesses and in the frailties and failures that I have, I got this Savior that came in the form of a baby in a manger, and he's the one rooting for me. Daddy, don't now just see that through the blood. What he just said, that wrong statement, see that through my blood. He's interceding for us at all times. I got a ringer in heaven. If we can get the picture, I've got someone who is determined more than me to get me to heaven in his presence. I've got someone in heaven who did the work to make sure I could succeed here, now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. Goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the things that go on between my ears. I added that, but it's scriptural. If you know the word, you know that's the power of the mind. Neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give the Lord a huge, huge hand. Give the Lord a huge hand. Father, we glorify you because you have glorified us. We love you because you first loved us. And heaven is cheering. God is cheering. Max Lucado wrote a book called The Applause of Heaven. If you've never read it, you need to read it because it will transform who you're listening to, the voices you're listening to, and the voice, whoever, when the enemy is cheering you on, you got problems. Do you hear me? When the enemy is cheering you on, tell her what you think of her. That's it. Just go ahead and tell her exactly what she deserves hearing. That voice, you're in trouble. If you don't turn around and just say, in Jesus' name, shut up. By the way, don't do it publicly. People will think you're goofy. You still want to have a credible walk with Christ. But I'm going to wrap up this service up, or at least the teaching time with this. There's a song that has been in my life for years and years and years. And I just think it's one of these songs that's just so incredible that when I hear it, I just at times weep. I go speechless at times. There's times I just get so taken back by the fact that God actually allowed a human being to pen these words and these lyrics and this music. So I've got a video that I'm going to turn the house lights down, and we're just going to play. We're going to fill the room, Beth, with this sound. We're going to fill the room with this sound. And I just want you to respond in a genuine way to this all-amazing Creator.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.